we have crossed a line of demarcation. We really have. We're on a new path which we've never been down before. New and uncharted territories, but that's where we are, in my opinion. We are in the midst of disclosure, and it's not going away. We've had everything from the Pentagon admitting that, you know, Area 51 exists, and now there's a secret UFO program. They've been studying UFOs for years. I wonder what that really means. We talked about that last week, but what does that really mean? I mean, are they examining down craft? Are they examining back engineering? Propulsion systems like Bob Lazar talks about, Philip Corso talks about, which I thought was a riveting book. And I thought, you know, Corso, if this guy's lying to us, he's a great liar. I read Corso's book. I followed Lazar. You know, Lazar disappeared because he got tired of the ridicule. He never, to the best of my knowledge, he never changed his story. You know, and people can criticize Lazar and he's a plant. He's this, he's that, he's making it up. And I mean, I get that. And I wasn't there, and I don't know. But I talked to Lazar one-on-one years ago, and I believed his story. And I still do to this day. I also believe Philip Corso's story, that he was handed material to back engineer. And let me just say something that, and I said this before, and I gotta say it again. No one knows what this is and where we are. No one knows what this little blue spinning planet, planet Earth, really is, how it got here, what we're doing on it. No one knows. And no one knows where we are, you know, in relation to the universe. You know, if the universe, let's say, is analogous to the United States of America, are we in Tallahassee? Are we in Duluth? Are we in Walla Walla? I mean, where are we? Get my point? No one knows. Nobody, you know, not the best minds on this planet has any idea of what this is or how it got here. End of story. And what we are in it, nobody knows. So with that in mind, you get into the whole, you know, interdimensional versus extraterrestrial. I am a dyed-in-the-wool interdimensionalist. In other words, I believe these entities are not from, you know, Zeta Epsilon someplace. I believe that they are interdimensional entities coming in. But that doesn't mean that when they do that, that the craft isn't real. The craft, in my opinion, is all too real. I sat down years ago with Dr. Jesse Marcel Jr. And I interviewed him. That interview is in our book, Further Evidence. Riveting interview. And I mean, you know, I mean, it's as close as you can get to the event, for crying out loud. I mean, the guy was there. His father comes in with a box full of material and says, look at this. You'll never see anything like it again. It's not from this world. Now, if it was a ruse, if it was a hoax, if it was a weather balloon, do you think Jesse Marcel Sr. and Jr. would stick to the story for decades? I mean, Jesse Marcel Jr. told me on the record that it basically tore his family apart. His father was made to look like a jackass. He really was. They disparaged his father's reputation. To think for one moment that Jesse Marcel Sr. would not know the difference between a weather balloon, what a weather balloon looked like, is an insult to the man's intelligence. Are you kidding me? According to his son, Jesse Marcel, you know, Jr., Dr. Jesse Marcel Jr., his father had seen numerous downed weather balloons, handled them, retrieved them, the whole nine yards. So to mistake this whole thing is like it's just a typical wag-a-dog thing. Ramey comes out. He's got the little telegram, which they zoomed in on, you know, disc retrieved. What the heck is that? And then they spin that to be, oh, they're talking about the disc microphones. Nonsense. I was there at Pepperdine University a number of years ago when they tried out some guy from I don't know who this guy was, disinformation guy. And I just got up and walked out about three quarters of the way through the guy's presentation because it was spin factor a go-go. And I even actually, it's not true. I stayed for the thing. I walked out after the Q&A because I got to ask one question. And my question was this. According to Dr. Stanton Friedman's research, the idea of the so-called Roswell crash dummies, well, saying that the retrieved alien bodies were actually crash dummies, which, you know, which were used in an experiment by the military. Yeah, the problem with this was, and Friedman proved this, that Roswell was 47. Crash dummies weren't used till 52. So unless the military's got some sort of time machine, and they very well may, who knows, that's an impossibility. And I threw that question out. This guy tap danced all around it. And I went, thank you. And I just got up and left. I mean, it was over for me. So the bottom line is there's been an ongoing cover up. The craft is real. The technology is there. And, you know, for those of you who don't believe in the interdimensional hypothesis, let me go to one of my favorite books, the Book of Enoch, found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. And Enoch basically tells us that when these entities, and we'll just call them these malevolent extraterrestrial entities, we'll just call them that for right now, okay, that these pernicious malevolent extraterrestrial entity who descend on Mount Hermon in the days of Jared, and they make an oath. In fact, Hermon means the mountain of the oath. And they get there, and what's interesting about this is there's a quid pro quo. They are showing the men that are on the planet at the time, thousands of years ago, the art of weapon making. Well, where did they get that from? And, you know, how did they know how to, you know, melt metal and mold metal? That implies a foundry. It implies technology. And they have technology, these nefarious extraterrestrial entities from, who are interdimensional. And they have technology. And they come to Earth with that technology. Jesse Marcel Jr. saw and handled the technology. So now we've got this F-18 Super Hornet pilot who chased a UFO, and already, like, some people are saying, well, it's a phantom, it's really not real, all these UFOs are not real, and I get that, but in my opinion, it's not either or, it's both and. Some of them can be illusions. I get that, I understand that, but others are absolutely real. Absolutely real. And so, this phenomenon is extremely complex. Very, very complex. And the cat and mouse game, which has gone on literally for decades, continues. And that begs the question, what are they waiting for? So now all of a sudden, 10 days ago, disclosure comes out, trots out, the media trots out, and I've told you some of what was, you know, the stories. So this is a blog, and I want to read this, and we'll weigh in on it. But UFOs are real. And this is from the blog, and it's on dated December 20th. So it's last week, and it was after the story broke, and Tucker Carlson had the ex-pilot on. And it was absolutely riveting to watch the exchange. And Carlson even stated, and at this point he's not reading off a teleprompter, he's not reading the questions, he's like, you know, engaged with this guy, and he's left his script, as it were, and he's just going, you know, I think your story is really important, I don't understand why it's not getting more attention. Hello! And that's what those of us who have traveled with this phenomenon for basically decades, and I've been studying this since I was 16 years old, for crying out loud. And I read, you know, von Daniken's book. I completely disagree with von Daniken's conclusions, but I love this book, and I admire the man's tenacity to go out and actually visit these places and examine, like in Sacsayhuaman or other places like Machu Picchu and the ancient wall that's there. And I get that, and it's amazing. Hats off to the guy. I mean, the book was incredible. But I disagree with his overall hypothesis that we're being visited by extraterrestrials, which, of course, is the basis for Ancient Aliens, which I was on the first two seasons, and that's why we started the Watcher series. Because when you go on these shows, they edit everything, and you don't get to say what you want to say. So we did 10 of a series. Now I've got my own series called The Watchmen Chronicles. It's behind me. We've got two films out, UFOs, in their own words, UFOs are real, and, of course, Fatima. Fatima 2 is coming out shortly, and I worked all day on the editing. But I digress. Let me get into this. I think you'll find it interesting. UFOs are real. Disclosure just happened. That's right. Last night on Tucker Carlson's primetime show on Fox News, he interviewed former Navy pilot David Fravor. Fravor made it clear toward the end of the interview that the UFO he saw was not of this world. His words, not mine. His words. So they trot this guy out, and he becomes the poster boy for disclosure. I mean, that's what's going on here. This is disclosure of a so-called extraterrestrial presence. As I stated a few days ago in my blog, you would think this would wake up the church, not only the church, you think it would wake up the average citizen. Snooze time, crickets, Not a chance. Just like when gay marriage became a law of the land under the Obama administration, not a peep was heard from the pulpits. Not a peep. I have to tell you that we've turned a corner. It's a new day dawning, and the cat is out of the bag, to use every cliche I can think of at 6 a.m. in the morning. In the last 72 hours, we have had three major announcements concerning UFOs. We've been told that Area 51 is real, and our government is studying UFOs. Oh, say this and so. So how is our government conducting their study? Are they back engineering down alien craft like what happened at Roswell? In my film, UFOs Are Real, I interviewed Jim and Carol Ranskin, who in turn had contact with a man by the name of Colonel Hill. Hill was OSS, which of course is the forerunner of the CIA, the modern day CIA. Hill stated on the record, which of course amounts to a deathbed confession, that the wreckage from the Roswell crash was shipped to Wright-Patterson Field, Ohio. That's where it was shipped. Why would he say that? Why would he make it up? What's in it for him? The guy's on his deathbed. He died a month later. So he's going to spin a ruse for disinformation? Nonsense. And Jim and Carolyn, when they come on the record, they basically say that he like hung his head, gave a sigh of relief, and then sort of spilled his guts, spilled his beans. So, you know, people can, you know, decide to go with that or just not go with it. So, I mean, here's a witness that comes on the record and on the blog. If you go back to the 21st, you can actually watch that interview with Jim and Carolyn talking about Colonel Hill. Well, back to the studying of UFOs. Is our government taking tissue samples from so-called alien bodies and conducting DNA experiments to create a hybrid? What about the idea of military personnel working side by side with the Greys? Here's another excerpt from my film. You see, we cover it all. And we really do, except for the cattle mutilations. And we had two witnesses which talked about going down in the deep underground military bases. And there they saw the Greys. They saw craft. All sorts of stuff. They also saw the tall whites. So we've got two guys that come on the record anonymously and basically state that our government is in cahoots. Well, now we know it's true. Now we know there's a secret UFO program. Area 51 is real. I think that the next thing that they may try out will be Roswell. So anyway, back to Fravor's testimony. We have to ask ourselves why Fravor was trotted out now to sort of spill the beans. His testimony is true, in my opinion. Now, I wasn't there. I have to take the man's word for it. But being a student of interviewing hundreds of people over the course of my career. In all my books, I've written 12 books on UFOs, on Nephilim, on end time prophecies. Richard Shaw and I created 10 films for the Watcher series. I've got 3 standalone films now on my own, The Watchmen Chronicles. I've interviewed hundreds of people. And you get to look at, excuse me, slurp time. You get to see body language. And you get to see when people fidget, or they look down, or they look the other way, or they roll their eyes, they won't make eye contact. Those are all really bad signals. Sometimes when people fold their arms like that, that's a sign that they're uptight and they're closed. They're not going to tell you any information. Body language says a lot. It says a lot. And as a student of body language and being in the field for decades now interviewing people, and I'm talking decades. I mean, this goes back for me almost 30 years of interviewing people, 1990, and actually before that, more like 1988. So it goes way back for me, you know, interviewing people and finding out what they have to say about their area of expertise. So looking at Fravor's testimony, in my opinion, the fact that he looked right at the camera and he stated unequivocally what he saw was out of this world. And he said so not in a very sensationalistic way at all, but very even-keeled and very sort of military-esque, if I can use that word, just a facts man type thing. But he laid it all out. And I just think it's absolutely mind-boggling. We've crossed the line. Let me continue. On Tuesday, December 19th, this was the subject of this blog. The government admits it studies UFOs. So about those Area 51 conspiracy theories, And it said, you know, all of us who've been wearing tin hats, tinfoil hats for all these years, we've been called conspiracy theorists, tinfoil hat people, you know, a little short of a deck. Now it's all coming out in the last 10 days that it's all true. Anyway, let me close this up. I think we are at a crossroads, yet another cliche. Lines have been crossed. And we can't go back to calling those of us, or the media, I should say, can't go back to calling those of us who have been sounding the alarm about the reality of UFOs, tinfoil hat people. I believe that the great deception is upon us now. I'd be positive in the near future we will be told that E.T. created all life on this earth, that E.T. genetically manipulated man creating modern Homo sapiens, that E.T. jump-started our early civilizations and created the world's first religions. We will be told that Jesus was a hybrid. In fact, he was part E.T. If you don't believe me, there's a site, rael.org, and you can check it out for yourself. I remember years ago when I ran into a friend at the market, and he asked me what I was working on. I told him I was working on a book called The Alien Interviews. The poor guy got the deer in the headlights look and made an excuse to end the conversation as he made a beeline to the exile, next aisle over. I have no idea where all this disclosure is headed, but it would not surprise me in the least if the global elites made a formal announcement that the extraterrestrial presence, UFOs, were real, and soon E.T. would reveal themselves. You know what? The bottom line is this. Something is happening here. I mean, it really is. And I'm not alarmed by it, but it's like, you know, waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning and someone throwing ice water on you. I mean, this is, we have crossed the line, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, I can't say it any plainer or simpler than that. We have crossed the line. And the fact that, you know, more people aren't talking about it, the fact that my phone's not ringing off the hook, I don't know whether, you know, people like Chase Klotsky or Linda Moulton Howe or, you know, other people on this network, their phones or emails are going through the roof. But my, you know, I'm not being contacted. No one's calling me up for interviews or asking for, well, you know, what about this? What about that? I mean, it's sort of business as usual. Flatlined. And I'm sort of perplexed at the lack of, basically the laissez-faire attitude of the American people. And I think that part of this, it made the, and I'm not saying, you know, this is, I'm going out on a limb here, but is it because we've had Star Wars for, you know, 38 years or whatever? We've had Star Trek for longer than that. All these sci-fi movies and everything else. So we become sort of anesthetized. So we've had all this fantasy thrown at us for decades. So now we get real disclosure. No one says anything. However, a couple of days after all this, these announcements and stuff on the blog, and I wrote about this also, that there was a launch out of Brandenburg up here, and people sent me text, my phone started ringing because it was out here in California. Oh my gosh, LA, have you seen this? And I look at the video and I said, that's a rocket. I know what a rocket looks like. I knew it was a rocket. So I wrote back and said, it's a rocket. But a lot of people started freaking out. And I wrote about this blog too. Let me just read this real quick. My phone started ringing. People were texting me and emails came pouring in. LA, what is it? Did you see what's in the sky? And by the way, folks, go to the blog, sign up for it. It's real easy to do. lamarzulli.wordpress.com. lamarzulli.wordpress.com. I blog almost daily. I've written over 3,000 articles on the blog. And, you know, check that out, as well as the YouTube channel. And by the way, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. We're just about at 70,000, and we thank you for subscribing to our channel. So I've seen rocket launches before, and so I knew what it was. Still, to someone who has never seen a rocket go up, the sight was absolutely impressive. As the headline from Fox states, the launch caused panic and fear. The talking heads from Fox, reading from a trusty teleprompter, confirms that it was not a UFO. I can rest easy now. Thanks, guys. Last week, a disclosure of a so-called extraterrestrial presence happened, and there was little or no reaction from the folks. Again, Tucker Carlson stated on the show that this was an important story, but there was little follow-up, or any follow-up at all, on other major networks. I had two pastors email me, and that was about it. If you haven't read this week's series of blogs, may I suggest you get up to speed and check them out. We turned a corner, and it's going to be interesting to see what the next step in disclosure is. Will they inform us that the Roswell event of 1947 was real? I covered this in my film. Once again, UFOs are real. It's a shameless plug. I get it. But the reason why I made the film, folks, was to wake people up. And the people that come on the film, it's in their own words. They've had encounters. They've seen stuff. They've seen lights in the sky. They've seen orbs. They've been abducted. They've had missing time. It's all there in the film. Anyway, let me continue. The deception is brewing, and perhaps because we've had decades of shows like Star Trek and Star Wars, is it possible most people can't discern between reality and fantasy? Perhaps this is why the folks didn't react last week when the real disclosure occurred. However, we see the disclosure from a rocket launch at Vandenberg. So what happens when, not if, a mile-wide craft just shows up and sits there? There's a saying I coined earlier this year, we go up, they come down, we go up, they show up. Think about it. This cat-and-mouse game of UFOs appearing and then disappearing has been going on for decades. I would posit that they are being held back, restrained by what we call the restrainer. When the restrainer, when he is taken out of the way, they will manifest. We go up, they come down. It'd be interesting to see what happens and how it's all spun. Anyway, folks, that's all the time I got for in this half. Stay tuned. We're going to be talking about the best of Watchers. I'm bringing on my good friend and partner in crime, as it were, in the Watchers series, Richard Shaw. We did 10 of these things together. This will not bore you. We're going to come right in with the alien implant, with Bill, not his real name, Bill's alien implant. That's one of our lead-off topics, one of my favorite topics. We went through the whole protocol with Dr. Roger Lehrer before he passed away, very untimely death. And we miss Dr. Roger. All of us do. He's a great guy. But we were in the operating theater, and what we saw there was incredible. Anyway, our guest, my good friend and partner in crime in the entire Watchers series, we did actually 11 of these things together, if you can believe it, over 5 years. Richard Shaw, with the miracle of Skype, is talking to us with this magic mirror behind me. But I want to get right into it, and I know our audience here on KGRA, and Rick, you and I, and it was really funny, during the whole Watchers series, things would come to you, things would come to me. And it was amazing how, you know, you would be sitting at your desk, for instance, and at your new place, the place you are now, and some guy would come in to check the smoke alarms, right? Go figure. And pick up the story there. This guy comes in to check the smoke alarm, and you start having a conversation, and he says what?
Well, basically, he came up to check the smoke alarm in my studio when I edited equipment that were Create Watchers. And he said, what is it you do up here? And I said, oh, I work on a show called Watchers. I'm directing it. And this is where, you know, I'm putting it together. He said, well, what's the show about? And I said, well, you know, all sorts of paranormal topics, UFOs, aliens, alien implants, Shroud of Turin, Torah codes. And he goes, oh, I love UFOs. So I happen to have an extra one on the shelf, and I gave him Watchers 1. And he goes, oh, that's great. And I, you know, I talked to him about Roger Lehrer, and he looked right at me and said, I have an implant. And I said, what? Of course, I'm kind of used to hearing that now, but I didn't expect it from this particular person. And so I asked him a few questions that I know is what happens when people normally get implanted, and he answered all of my questions correctly. So I said, look, if you really think you have an implant, if you know where you think it is, get it x-rayed, and one of my best friends is Dr. Roger Lehrer, and I'll show it to him. Well, never expecting him to do anything, I kind of forgot about it. And about a week and a half later, I get this email with a JPEG attachment, and it's this guy's x-ray of his leg. And I'm going, he actually did it. So I called up Steve Colburn, who at the time was the chief scientist for Roger's company, and sent it to him, emailed it to him. He said, oh, it looks pretty interesting. And first thing he says was, does it look like a bent piece of wire? And I said, yeah, exactly like that. And so he said, I think you ought to send this to Roger. So Roger immediately goes, well, it looks like a real deal to me. I think we should check this out. I said, okay, great. So Bill, as we ended up calling him in the show, I said, look, I think what you have there might be an actual implant because of your story you've told me, and also – and the pain that you suffered with it. look, would you want it removed? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, what if we agreed to pay all of your medical expenses if you agree to let us film the process? And he said, done deal. So that's how this all started. So in Watcher 7 and 8 is the whole story of discovering that this guy actually did have an implant, going through all the lab tests and medical procedures, and then actually going in and surgically removing it.
And you know, what's amazing about this, and I remember this years ago, when I started talking about implants, that people were being taken and implanted, certain researchers laughed at me to scorn. I mean, this is all delusion. It's really not happening. These people are making it up. And I remember this is back in 1999, the first time I met Roger. And I've told this story before. I just love it. And I was down at this MUFON meeting down south someplace, and Roger had just done his first implant removal. And so some guy, you know, I was actually to see Barry Chamish was actually the speaker that day. So I met Barry, and we exchanged books. He gave me his Nephilim book, The Return of a Nephilim. I gave him my first novel, Nephilim. We exchanged books. And then in the course of that, someone says, you know, L.A., there's a guy over here. His name is Dr. Roger Lear, and he just took out his first implant. So they introduced me to Roger, and I go, wow, Roger, you know, I understand that you actually took out an implant. I mean, was this thing real? And he goes, yeah, would you like to look at it? Doing Roger imitations here. And I go, yeah. And he goes, here. And he reaches into his pocket. I'll never forget it. Typical Roger. He reaches into his pocket. He pulls out a vial and wiggles it in front of my face and goes, lay out your hand. Open up your hand. He pops the cap off and puts the thing in the palm of my hand. I'm sitting here going, no one's going to believe this. And that's like 1999. And so, Rick, here you and I are in with Bill. And we've got x-rays. We've got CAT scans. We've got the ultrasound machine. It was giving off, the implant was giving off a signal of what, 8.0 megahertz or hertz on the Gauss meter?
Well, there was a bunch of tests we did. I mean, the first and easiest test is just using a stud finder because right. It's a metallic object. And a Home Depot stud finder works great for that. And then it was a Gauss meter. And Roger put the Gauss meter right over the spot. It's clearly visible in Watcher 7. And when it went off, it was about 6.9 milligauss. And my camera, which was a Canon 60D at the time, was putting out 10 milligauss with a fully charged lithium ion battery. And this thing was just an implant under the guy's skin and putting out nearly as much power as that, which is really quite phenomenal, actually.
I remember when it happened, you and I just sat there, and this is all on film. I mean, it's all in Watchers. It's like, you know, We actually recorded and filmed the entire process to show the world that, like, this stuff is real. We're not making this stuff up.
And the video is you know, it's okay. It's not all that pretty and highly produced because, to me, then if I were to do that, if I bring in a gaffer and a lighting crew and all of that, it would take away from the actual reality that this is really happening and make it look fake. And what you see is actually what actually happened.
Well, Let's move from that, and I'll never forget this. We go in, and again, we're
with
Bill.
That's the first thing in the Best of Watchers.
It's the first one. It's the first episode. So we go in with Bill, not his real name, Dr. Roger, you and me, to Dr. Matriciana's office. And he takes the ultrasound wand, and he takes the x-ray, and he puts it over Bill's leg, and he goes, I think it's here. He puts a little black dot. He takes the ultrasound wand and puts the little magic liquid on his leg. Goes like this, I don't know, a minute, he finds the implant, he goes, yep, there it is, we'll see you in 2 weeks, and we'll take it out. So 2 weeks go by, we're all there, and for us it's a big production. We've got, 10 to 12 people in a waiting room with a big HD monitor, looking at the proceedings. Dr. Roger Lear is there.
Wires and cables running all over the place. We had three cameras. I mean, it was a big deal
for us. And we're sitting there, and pick up the story there. What happens in that operating theater?
Well, the interesting thing was we thought we'd, even before we got out the ultrasound, we thought we'd just try to, well, maybe we actually did it a little bit with ultrasound first, and then Roger brought out his kit of test equipment, the same stuff that we had in his office. Ultrasound couldn't find it. So then we got out the stud finder, and we put that on Bill's leg, Zippo, nothing, no reading on either leg. You could put it anywhere. And well, actually, it did read it. It gave us an erroneous reading. It said there was something in anywhere you put it, the needle went off on it, which is really weird. And then the Gauss meter read zero, no matter where we put it, which is really strange because before it was at 7 milligauss roughly. So essentially, they had somehow switched it off. I mean, it's really, really quite phenomenal.
It was absolutely.
And the reason why we agree on the fact that this thing is a combination of technology and spiritual stuff is because of what happened next.
Shall I pick up a story from there?
I thought you'd want to.
So we're sitting there. It's like an hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes into this thing. At one point, Dr. Matriciano looks at Dr. Lear and goes, you know, well, maybe we should get another x-ray. And Roger goes, no, we know it's there. Typical Roger. And he keeps looking for this thing with the wand. Nothing. So I get this little tap on the shoulder, and I realize it's going to sound really woo-woo to some of you out there, but that's just the way the supernatural works. And I'm told, you need to take authority over this. You need to pray, and you need to do it now. And we're in a room full of people that don't hold the same belief system that Rick and I do. And I just go, okay, it's going to sound really weird, everybody. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to do it now. And the prayer was just like, and all a prayer is a request. That's what it is. It's a request. And so I said, Father, if there are forces which are blocking or masking this device, I pray that you would break their power and do it soon. That was it. You know, no chorus of angels singing, no choir boys, you know, marching in and singing some hallelujah choruses. That was it. And then
no big evangelical display. It was just basically
a request.
A prayer, a simple prayer. We need this thing to work so we can go ahead and remove it. And I was kind of saying a silent prayer too, like,
I know you were.
This is a big deal, and we're all here, and we need to go ahead and be done with this. This thing needs to come out. And it wasn't like a couple minutes later, I'm shooting the monitor on the machine, on the device that was scanning this.
With your camera. You're filming what the monitor is at that point, right.
And I did that for two reasons. One, I wanted to document what it looked like when we actually did find it, but also Roger's eyesight wasn't doing very good, and he was so funny about it. He had glasses on his head, and at one point you can hear him say, oh, Rick, can you take my glasses off? and I said, you want me to take your glasses off? Because I figured he needed them, and he goes, yeah, I can't stand the sight of blood. And typical Roger. He's just crazy.
He's
like
just
that.
Amazing.
Anyway,
I miss him.
So I'm shooting this with a 300 millimeter lens so it can be full screen on the HD monitor that I had set up in the actual surgical room so we could really see real big. And all of a sudden, the thing just appears. It's like it dissolves on the screen. It's like, what? I mean, because we've been looking at that.
Everybody was
place.
Freaked out. Remember, oh my gosh, what's that? Matriciano's going, it's the implant. And then he takes his wand. We'll pretend the Jingo's bottle is his wand. And here's the guy's leg. He's tapping the thing like this, looking at it, putting it back, taking it off, putting it back, taking it off, tapping the thing. He can't figure out why all of a sudden there's the implant. And then what's amazing is, and Rick's got some incredible photography of this, we show the incision, we show it opened up, and there is, we get our first look at this thing, and out it comes. And then, of course, you know, and this is, you know, what's amazing about this isn't a little scrap of metal from a childhood accident. I mean, this thing was like, remember how we had to cut the tissue away,
attached internally, all of these implants are basically the same, the way that they are, when they're under the skin, they somehow develop a protective sac membrane that goes around them. And then sometimes the implant inside of that membrane is filled with some kind of a liquid. It's kind of an amber colored liquid and it's floating in that. But the implant itself, somehow through this membrane that protects it, is connecting itself to nerve tissues. And those are clearly visible under electron microscope. You can see those nerve tissues. And we even had EDX analysis on those nerve endings, and they came up being 99% carbon, which is human skin. So, I mean, this thing was attached. So when you take it out of there, it no longer functions. It's lost its power source, essentially. And that's really what I think it is. I think it's being powered by our own electrical system in our bodies.
I concur. So we take the thing out. We show it all. You know, everybody gives everybody a high five. Sew Bill back up. And this was on a Saturday. On a Monday, we're at Seal Lab. And, you know, Rick just mentioned putting the implant under an electron microscope, which was interesting. Before we did that, Steve Colburn, who at the time was one worked with Roger and sort of a lead scientist, took the implant, put it under just a normal microscope, and took a razor blade and cut the sac from it, and then took all that tissue in the sac and put it in the vial. That was supposed to get tested. We never got the results back.
No, it did. Roger told me the results.
What were the results?
I never saw the actual paperwork, but I said, so what did the pathology lab say? Because that's where they sent it.
Right.
It was like weird tissue. It was like semi-transparent, really weird stuff. I don't know any kind of other skin tissue to compare it to. It's different than that. And it's not like acrylic or anything like that, but it's some sort of organic tissue. And they tested it and said there was no evidence of any inflammatory problems or any infection. So this thing essentially keeps the implant from the body rejecting it.
That's unbelievable. I mean, that's absolutely incredible.
Which it would. And like you were saying before, like this isn't like a piece of metal like from Home Depot or something like that. No. This what it looked like is this really tiny, about 6 millimeters long, almost boomerang shaped object that was very crystalline in appearance. It had like little, metallic, it was like metallic, but it was also incredibly brittle, and so Steve took a pair of diagonal cutting pliers, and we cut it in two, and when he did that, some of it shattered and just kind of flew in every direction. It was so brittle. It was like cutting something almost ceramic. So then we looked at it again on the inside. We didn't find any carbon nanotubes or anything like that. But
you remember, that implant was about 40 years old. I mean, Bill was implanted when he was 5. He's now 45. So it's really one of the, it goes back. And let me just remember when we asked Bill, he was 5 years old. And when the Grays came into the room, he fought them off the first time, a little 5-year-old kid, right? The second time, there was no fight. They just took him right up through the ceiling. And in my film, In Their Own Words, and Rich and I have talked about this, just like in I forget, was it 7 with Robert Salas, when they took him, and he goes floating out the window. Maybe we should talk about that. I mean, The Best of Watchers just has some incredible, and the entire Watchers series. I mean, we're actually in the field talking to people, getting real hard evidence, and that's what this was. But, you know, Bill's story where he's sucked up through the ceiling, and then, of course, he's implanted. And I had lunch with him about 6 months ago, maybe not that long ago. And he's experienced some health problems. And up till the implant, when the implant was in him, he never had any health problems, never had any joint problems. Now he's got joint problems, and he's getting sick, he's getting cold. He was telling me he's never been sick. Now all of a sudden stuff is happening. So is that?
That's where he also told me, like, when the implant was removed, like for about 30 days later, he lost 20 pounds.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, which that's kind of significant.
I agree. Well, let's move on because we've only got about less than 10 minutes left. Again, let's go back to Roger.
About the Kambergash?
Absolutely. Perfect segue. You know, Dr. Roger Lehrer, we all miss him. I mean, you know, we used to go to lunch together, and we would take Dr. Roger out to lunch. He was like our favorite uncle. He was just a wonderful man, and he appeared in all of our Watchers. In fact, in Watchers 8, we dedicated to him, right? Was it 8 or 9?
Yeah, I think it was 8, yeah.
But
that was the year he passed away, 2014.
Yeah, he had this film, the Kambergaz UFO, Kambergaz is in Turkey, and this UFO appeared for 3 consecutive years, 2007, 8, and 9. So in 9, Roger's out there on the shore of this lake, and he's got a camera guy with a big zoom lens on this thing. Pick up the story, Rick. What happened?
Well, sure. I mean, first of all, let me tell you where Kambergaz is. It's in the southern coast on the Sea of Marmara, and which is really not far from Istanbul. It's kind of like if you were to look at a map and Istanbul's there and then you've got this strait, then Kumburgaz would be to the left a little bit. And so this thing would hang out there every year over the same spot. I mean, I don't know why that is. I have a feeling that these entities have been there before, centuries before. This is like some place that's well known to them, and they just keep coming back, just like other places of, you know, along different parallels in the Earth's crust. There's places where in Mexico, there's constant UFOs all the time.
Sure.
I mean, why is that? You know, also in Brazil, there's UFOs. Sometimes
Stonehenge.
In Peru, there's...
Sure.
Yeah. So you got these hotspots. Well, this is another one, because, you know, even after that, I had a guy who loved our piece send me a picture of a UFO, another one that was out over the Sea of Marmara. It looked different, but they're always appearing here. So anyway, there was this guy that... that had a camera this time and a tripod, and they set it up on the dock and put a 200 millimeter extender lens. It was a Canon, it wasn't an XL1, but it was like a semi-pro, nice NTSC camera, about the best you can get in 2009. And he put a Sony 200 millimeter extender on it. And then he zoomed into this thing. Well, what happens when you do that? You kind of get a mortising around the edge of the shots, and you'll see that in the picture. Like, it's a little fuzzy, like you're looking through a porthole a little bit. But he was able to get this thing really large, blown up to a huge extent. And when he did that, you could clearly see two alien gray heads.
Oh, yeah.
Looking out of the ship. I mean, it very clearly see them. And then off to the right, there was something else there and other things moving around. So Roger told us when we were talking to him about this that another guy in Chile had taken the original tape and stripped the fields off of it and did an analysis of it and saw a third alien being. And I found that website, and I just freaked out because it looked like a praying mantis kind of creature, you know. And we both heard of people that have seen these things.
Sure.
I did a screening in the Sonoma Film Festival of Watchers 7 back in April of this year, and it was a full house. And Stephen Bassett was there, some other guys were there, and I had people come up and tell me they've seen these mantis-like creatures. They all talk. And I've had others tell me they've seen them. And so in the pictures that he had on his website, there were two little grays and a praying mantis kind of creature with the big triangular-shaped eyes and all of that. And that's what we see on board the Kumburgaz UFO. But what was the biggest problem was that everything was like jittering and moving and going really super fast, and you couldn't see anything clearly. It just looked all fuzzy, like static. Until I slowed it way down. And then all of a sudden you could see that these creatures live almost like insects. They live really close to each other, bumping into each other. And there were stuff in the dark sections of the ship that is very difficult to see, but there apparently was other creatures in there as well.
I think what amazed me about it, and when I show the film at conferences when I'm speaking and talking about this, and I'll show them that clip, And I preface it by saying what you're about to see is real, and in my opinion, it is the best UFO evidence I've ever seen. And then we roll the clip, and, you know, it zooms in. It's actually, you know, quite long, the clip that I have. I think it's like maybe 15 or 20 minutes.
I cut it down for the best of.
Yeah, but it's like all different. Yeah. One is like at night, and then it's like at 5 in the morning eventually. So you see the craft, and it turns, and it moves, and it puts on all of its running lights at dawn. I mean, it's just incredible to watch it go through its maneuvers. And people look at this, and they're just blown away. They're just dumbfounded, taken aback, because it's real. And then my retort is, you've seen this, now what do you do with the information? You know, how can you possibly look at this and think that the phenomenon is not real? And before let me finish this one thought. With that in mind, Rick, let's just, because we're running out of time here, so what else is new? Let's segue from that, you know, where people or seeing something like the Comburgas UFO, which we cover in the Best of Watchers, but into, in the first half of the show, I was talking about the disclosure that happened last week. So address that and we'll sort of wrap it up here.
Oh yeah. I mean, I saw the piece. It came up on the New York Times and I'm going, you know, to me, I've seen so much of this stuff. Everybody sends me their UFO footage. And Jaime's given me like 500 clips, and I've looked at them all. It took me 3 days to go through all of them. So this was, to me, was rather ho-hum. It's like, well, they're finally getting around.
Yeah.
It's like 13 years later. It's like, oh, okay, here's another one. Like this is a new thing to the rest of us. You know, this is like old news. But I thought what was interesting, it was almost like soft disclosure.
I agree.
Like the mainstream media, which, you know, is fake news half the time anyway, are finally actually shedding some light on the phenomena without ridiculing it, because that's what they would do. And now they, by ridiculing it consistently, they've shown their own ignorance, because this stuff is real. I mean, no, I'm not saying we totally understand it, but we know it exists. We know it's out there doing that. And some of the craft is probably and most likely ours. And
sure.
Some of it probably is not. It's very confusing.
It's a very complex subject.